Welcome back to The Gavel and the Gabble. It's me, Harry. I'm based at Windsor Auctions and I'm joined by...
It's me, Simon. I'm based in Devon at Lime Bay Auctions with our sister... Oh, do you want to be a sister or a brother company? Which do you want to be?
Oh, I've always described just as sister auction houses. I don't know whether that's going to get me cancelled or not.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm imagining we're going to get cancelled somehow. So
As we're both businesses are run by women.
How are you, Harry? How's your week?
I'm all right, mate. My week has been, as usual, entertaining. I've been doing... Oh, I started the week with a charity auction for the Eton Information Centre. And we raised £20,000 for that. So that was fun. At a hotel in the centre of Windsor. It was, I have to say, like many people have been telling me, charity auctions, they're harder at the moment because money is tighter. Let's not be beat around the bush. But some people dug really deep and bought some great lots.
That's fantastic. I mean, raising £20,000 in what was that, half an hour's work for you or...?
It was half an hour's work. What was nice is we also lent them, for those who follow Windsor Auctions social media, we lent them Will. Will, our resting actor who works at Windsor Auctions, we lent them Will as their MC for the evening. So he did games and got people up dancing and that sort of stuff. So that was great. It was great fun. But it was a lovely night. Nice group of people. We were terrible. We picked on a few people, making them bid. At one point, I was actually physically putting a man's arm in the air.
Excellent. Okay. I gather you knew this man, or do you now know him?
I now know him. Never met him before in my life. Slightly awkward moment. He thought I was over attentive on his arm, but there you go. But then we had valuation days. Like you and I have been. I tell you what, I see a lot of these now. If you follow auction houses on social media and you're into this sort of stuff, which obviously we are, loads and loads and loads of auction houses are out on the road, going to halls, church halls, all sorts of places to do valuations. And it seems to be the new trend. So I was out this week. We did a couple, which was great fun. We've got in some interesting items. Oh, and I don't know if I said this. I'm doing all the talking, sorry. You know, we had our DJ residency at the Oak Tree Garden Centre. They've renewed us after our first quarter, so we're back for another quarter. So another 3 months in their lovely coffee shop, meeting the great and the good of Bracknell, Winkfield, Warfield, Ascot, Hollyport, all those sort of areas. Who couple having their treasures valued with coffee and cake.
So you really are. We should have you twinned with Celine Dion, shouldn't we?
I mean, it would have to be somebody of an older generation, wouldn't it? And I'm not sure Celine Dion. I mean, there's about 10 Celine Dions to one Harry.
I would say so. Speaking of Celine Dion, we have a vinyl sale up at the moment, a timed online vinyl sale. As I think we've mentioned already, it is Sunday that we're recording this. And as is sort of rote when it comes to timed auction, we finish these auctions at about 7 o'clock. No, it is 7 o'clock on Sunday night, letting the general public battle it out. And it's fascinating. I love our timed auctions, don't you? Just watching them tick away. So we've got 124 lots in this auction. And literally, I think there are only 7 or 8 that don't have a bid. And it's, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon? We've got till 7 o'clock this evening. So the vinyl bidders are out in force and they are bidding up those lots as we speak. And we get to watch the sale close this evening when live bidding will commence for those lots with multiple bidders going away at them this evening from 7 o'clock onwards. It's going to be great. I love these. It's better than TV.
It is better than TV. And what's interesting about this is that the sale, I think your sale's been running a week and a bit. And most of the bidding is done in the last hour and after the end of the sale. So those people who don't know about these timed sales, is that they're never ending if people keep bidding, which is a bizarre thing to say. So if you bid in the last nanosecond, it pushes that lot 10 minutes. I think we've chatted about this before.
That's right.
Which creates the auction, which makes it one exciting for us, one exciting for other people. It suits people who don't want Simon or I shouting at you in a nice way, cajoling bids out of you. And you're doing it at your own pace. And the reason why we do them on a Sunday is invariably you're sat at home doing it in the comfort of your own home. But it means that you can't snipe, you can't do all these things that mean that you may have got more for your item if you're using other selling sites. What you are getting is the best price in the market at the time for a well-publicized sale. Regular listeners will understand that there's an obvious synergy to doing a podcast that came out last Monday with the fantastic Jamie Fennell about vinyl and then running a vinyl sale. We're not as daft as we look, are we, Simon?
Some would say we are, to be fair, Harry. Some would say we are. And it is interesting. I just had a quick peep at that sale before we jumped on the pod. And, you know, David Bowie, he's doing fabulously well. The Smiths, AC/DC. We've got a Depeche Mode album, and it's already way over £100 for that single album, although it is pressed on clear vinyl, which obviously is the pull for that one. But, you know, we spoke about this with Jamie, and he was saying how amazing the record LP vinyl business is at the moment. And there just goes to show it. A single album for Depeche Mode making over £100 currently and climbing. It's a really interesting genre. It's a really interesting part of the auctioneering business. And it's fascinating to watch, isn't it?
It really is. No, I love it. I love it. I will never pretend I understand what makes them a particular album so special, although we have learnt a lot more from Jamie. But fortunately, we have his expertise to call on when we're valuing collections and we have a panic about something. He's very sweet and we can say, help, I don't understand this or whatever. So that's good. It helps us out. Yeah, so time sales going well. We have now got a diary of time sales over the course of this year. We were spurred into action by the team at Retruvius, who we've also had on the pod, and we are now doing 2 to 3 time sales a month. So we've increased from 1 to 2 to 3, so that we are selling a lot more general items that we clear from houses, so that even more items, they may not be high value, but at least they're not going to landfill. He sort of shamed us into investigating further this time sale. And it does suit all sorts of the items, but these general sales seem to go better for that sort of stuff. So it is interesting. What else have you done this week, mate?
We have been taking in the weird and the wonderful for our next couple of auctions. And when I say weird and wonderful, I really mean that. For example, I've taken in an electric chair.
Oh, fantastic. Now, that is macabre and a little bit odd. Is it working?
Aha. Uh-huh. Good question. And this is where it gets interesting. So this is an old like fairground piece that you would have had at the carnies, the carnivals, the whatever. I've got to tell you, I've not seen one before. So this is a mock-up of an electric chair. With the voltage sign over the top of it. And it came in from a house clearance, would you believe? Not done by us, this one, but, you know, one of our chaps that's out, he just does clearances, doesn't have an auction house, so he brings the stuff to us. And he said, literally, I've got an electric chair. So he's brought in this very macabre, very wonderful thing. Now, here's the interesting bit on this one. Al, who works for us, and he won't mind me saying this because he couldn't listen to a podcast if he wanted to, so he'll never know, who is 67. Al, who works for us on the lorries, and he is our foreman and he manages our clearances and is absolutely brilliant and outstanding character and chap came up with the very valid question, which is, who the hell's going to be the first one to sit in that and hold the metal rods and switch it on? I said, you know what, Al? You might have a point here. Lion Bay Auctions, we do like to bring you the weird and the wonderful, but I'm slightly concerned that we might kill a customer.
I'm not worried about killing a customer, but I can't wait to do the next. We did the one chip challenge with you. I'm amazed we're not filming this with you in the chair. Now that is something we can organise for next week. Dear listener, if you want to see Simon...
On the basis that I did the one chip challenge, I think maybe it's your turn.
I probably won't fit in the electric chair.
Oh, you will.
I'm all in. So I'm all in.
So the question is, who's going to throw the switch the first time and make sure that this thing kind of works? Now, Al also told me about, Harry, I haven't experienced this, and we are the same age, so I'm expecting you might be. But Al was telling me, him being of slightly more advanced years than ourselves, that in the good old days, you used to be able to go to your local pub or whatever, and there was a game, and I think it was like a general knowledge game or some kind of quiz game, and you would hold two connecting rods, and if you got the question wrong, you'd get an electric shock, and that was part of the game. Health and safety gone mad. Why can't we go back to those days? That sounds brilliant. I want that game.
No. I'm not bright enough. I'd spend my life dropping my pint if I drank. Dropping my pint if I was having to clutch hold of two electric things trying to answer a general knowledge question. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to, in answer to your question, who's going to throw the switch? We are coming down to Lime Bay from Windsor as a team. So Emma, our boss, is going to be there. And no doubt she will happily throw the switch if I'm sat in an electric chair.
Are you suggesting we throw the switch on Emma?
No, sure. You didn't listen to me. I said she would happily throw the switch on me. Nice try.
Under that bus you go.
Regular listeners will know that Emma, my wife, doesn't listen to the pod, so I'm quite safe saying that, so we're okay.
I've also got, so we've got an electric chair, which, yeah, is really quite bizarre, electrocuting each other for fun. And also, you know, we've spoken before about sometimes the weird and the one, and you get in, you know, we get in a lot of wedding rings, don't we? Or engagement rings, or things you go, well, that relationship clearly hasn't worked out well, despite the fact that inscribed in the inner part of the wedding ring, it says, you know, love you forever or for eternity. It clearly didn't work. How about this? I've got a lady who brought in and virtually threw through the door a tandem bicycle.
Right. That's the end of a relationship.
Isn't it just? So her and her previous partner, he insisted that they buy a tandem and cycle around the local area. It was quite clear that that relationship had not ended well and the bicycle was no longer required. So we now do have a rather sad looking tandem bicycle, which is sat alongside a couple of beehives and an electric chair. So I think it's fair to say we've got an eclectic mix of lots coming up for our next auction.
I'm loving that. Oh, I love a beehive. I'm desperate to keep bees. Desperate to keep bees.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you want lots of little friends? What?
No. When I was growing up, when I was young, when I was very young, my mum used to keep a couple of hives of bees for the honey. But unfortunately, she got stung a couple of times and eventually became highly, highly, highly allergic to bees. And, you know, her whole arm would swell up if she was stung. So they had to be moved and donated to friends who then kept them. No, I think I just like the whole idea of keeping the bee population going and also, you know, fulfilling everybody's prophecy that I look like Winnie the Pooh and therefore could probably eat a lot of honey.
you look like Winnie the Pooh, but actually Charlie, my 8-year-old, came home from school the other day, and for reasons I do not know, but then I haven't checked the curriculum recently, they were sat down to watch Kung Fu Panda the other day, to which he came home and said, I've just seen a film about Harry.
I've got several godchildren who refer to me as Kung Fu Panda. yes, slightly awkward. I mean, I'm quite chuffed that I could be a dopey panda who's actually quite good at kung fu. But, you know, only the fact I could barely lift my legs off the floor, I'm not sure.
Now, I have got a little bit of news for you, Harry, which I'm quite delighted about. Lime Bay Auctions have been to see a quite magnificent property in, I'm just going to say, because I need to be a little bit careful, in Devon. We were invited along by the family, and it is, well, I keep using the word eclectic, but a magnificent house, a very rare house, there is only one, full of stuff. And when I say stuff, I mean collectibles, antiques, taxidermy, beautiful furniture, magnificent oil paintings, you know, those reverse painted on glass Victorian pieces. We have been asked to obviously compete for the job because it is, you know, quite a prestigious job. And an hour ago, Harry, I got the email to say that Lime Bay Auctions have won the job. So we are very, very excited. They seem like they're a lovely family from the people that I've met. But equally, we're delighted that in April, we are going to work with that family to clear this rather large estate and bring these items to auction for them. So it has been a good, good day. And I haven't told you this, Harry, so I'm sharing it with you live on the podcast.
And I am delighted for you, mate. That is fantastic news. Not surprising, obviously, because Lime Bay Auctions usually beats everybody it competes against. I am slightly biased, but that is great news. And roll on April. I'm looking forward to taking April and May off as you keep me in the lifestyle to which I am accustomed.
Do you know what? I tell you what, as our head auctioneer at both auction houses, I'm just excited because you're going to see some really, really interesting stuff. And of course, your gavel will be, well, busy, 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 and with some exciting stuff. So it's going to give us a really good couple of months with some really fun and interesting items that we can obviously auction and we can talk about on the pod. So, yeah, it's been a really cracking week for Lime Bay Auction. So I'm pleased to report that back to our head honcho auctioneer.
That's good news. And I'm liking this, listener, that Simon has kept this from me and he's broken it to me live on the pod. That's what the Gavel and the Gabble is all about. A little bit of revelation of what it's like to run auction houses and be behind the scenes. And there is nothing like the euphoria of winning a good job that's going to keep your team of valuers and the rest of the team happy and busy. So watch this space. Check out their socials, Lime Bay Auctions, on Instagram, Facebook. Check out the website because you'll be able to see the catalogues for what sounds to me like it's going to be a country house auction of some caliber. That's great news. That's great news. I've got nothing like that, by the way. We are clearing a substantial house in London, in Chelsea. However, like most of the jobs that we get, I've signed the most stringent NDA.
NDA.
Not NDAs that you've ever seen, to the point where I can barely remember my own name after I've signed it. There's some interesting bits and pieces coming from that. And in the usual way, everybody watch the website, but you still won't know where it's coming from and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's always some nice bits and pieces. But I don't have a country house estate yet this year. What else have I done? It has all been valuation days and it has been doing house calls. And we've been running some sort of, we've been checking with people about this. So we have queues and queues of people at our valuation days, bringing in all sorts, as you just mentioned, taxidermy, jewellery. I've got foxes in boxes and gold, in fact, gold bars, weirdly, and all this stuff coming up. But we offer at, the ability to come to your home and value. And that has again kicked on to the point where we're doing five or six appointments every day at the moment, which is keeping me busy and the rest of the team busy. And that's quite interesting. We are doing some work with a local authority with regards to hoarders. So the team wanted to give a little bit back And we're dealing with two hoarders' houses where it takes some time to deal with this. So we've got one house. It's going to take a team of 4-5 days to clear this. It's a 3-bedroom house. And there is a list. The way they've managed to get the hoarder to allow the items to be cleared is there is a list of items that they are allowed to keep. A small, very small percentage of the house. You can't get through the front door. So there's boxes in every room. You can't get to the kitchen full of boxes and all the rest of it. So it's an interesting job. But the boys are going to sift through and find a specific list of things. And what is interesting about this hoarding condition is the individual, and both these are two houses, but the individuals know exactly the things they want to keep and know exactly that they're in that house or in those rooms, which is absolutely, I find it stunning that they know where these things are. And, you know, so they were able to say room 3, there's a purple dragon that I really, really want. I'm using that as an example. I'm not telling you what's on the list because it might help identify the individual. But yeah, so that it's fascinating. So we've got two of those jobs coming up over the course of April. So yeah, but we'll see what happens. It's just been a working week at Windsor Auctions, and I know that at Lyme Bay. We've had a couple of staff changes as well. So poor old Simon, the reason why I'm recording this on a Sunday is Simon has been flat out doing everything, literally everything, even trying his hand at social media, I imagine.
When we say I've been flat out, I've got to hand it to Susie, my wife, who, bless her, has absolutely worked her tail off this week. We did have a nice moment amusement when a very nice gentleman wandered into the sale room and very politely asked when our next viewing days were, to which Susie explained that they would be on the Friday and the Saturday prior to the sale. And he very kindly said, "Oh, that's fantastic, because I like to come along to your viewing days because you have such wonderful stuff." But then, unfortunately, he added, "Particularly when it's raining, it helps fill the day." So it would seem we have turned into some kind of museum place to skip the rain showers in Devon and waste a couple of hours. So I'm thinking about putting the price of our catalogues up.
I'm all in. I think that's like, no, we should just open a coffee shop. What are you talking about? That's what we should be doing. Let's get some coffees going. Let's turn this, we'll turn ourselves into a visitor attraction. We've got the space. Oh, dear. I love that. That is so funny.
Now, I do want to speak to you about something, Harry.
Okay, go on.
I want to speak to you about the individuals that you are sending down to the southwest from your neck of the woods up there in the home counties and Berkshire. It's that time of year when you're not start to invade my southwest, and my favourite pub gets overrun with women shouting, "Atticus and Juno! Atticus and Juno, get down from there!" Where do you get these names from, right? Could you stop sending me Atticus and Juno, because they're noisy and annoying? And by the way, Oaken and Geron can do one as well, back to the home counties. So could you stop sending me these individuals with daft names, please?
For those of you who don't know, dear listener, Simon's having a little bit of rant about people coming to the southwest. He used to live in Berkshire. His wife's from Buckinghamshire.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
They both ran away to the southwest and renamed their children, who were originally called Tarquin. I'm jesting. I'm jesting. But the problem is, Simon, that you've got is that Lyme Regis, Seaton, Beer, all along there is so beautiful. People like coming to visit you.
I know. And I have to say, I can't really, I am jesting, because I did obviously name my children after Labradors. So if I take my children to the park and shout Max and Charlie, I get surrounded by chocolate and golden Labradors. So I can't really, I can't really argue about Atticus and Juno or Geron and Oaken, can I, really? I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Not really. Now, hang on a minute. Talking about dogs. Pablo.
Yeah.
Special dog that Simon has taken on board. Tell me about Pablo's. Tell me about Pablo today. What happened to Pablo?
Do the RSPCA listen to this? I don't think they do. Do they? We may have. Charlie and I may have taken Pablo for a walk today, and we may have lost him. When I say lost him, I mean properly lost him. Like he went off into the woodlands. And we didn't see him for 25 minutes, to which my youngest Charlie was saying quite regularly, do you think he'll ever come back? I said, yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. And fortunately, I mean, Susie, my wife, and the eldest were off doing something else. So it was just the two of us. We were running scenarios, Charlie and I, about how we were going to explain how we've managed to lose this dog. And what we're going to do about it, and whether or not we could, in the next couple of hours, source another spaniel with the same dopey look on his face, slightly gingery with a white, I don't know, something close. And then my phone rang in my pocket, and it was a very lovely lady who I've not met, who had found said spaniel. He was apparently trotting off to Lyme Regis. I'm assuming he was going for, I don't know, a burger or a swim or a dip or something. And bless, yeah, so we had to go and retrieve Pablo from the back of a Ford Fiesta. So I'd just like to put a shout out on the podcast. Thank you to that lovely lady for rescuing Pablo and returning him to us. And we'll try and be more careful in future.
I'm leaving a bit of space there in the pod for the listeners to think about the pain that is heading in Simon's way, not physical, probably mental, when Simon and I were discussing before we started recording whether or not there are two numbers on Pablo's collar, the first being Susie, his wife, and did they ring that number first? So she is aware that Pablo has had a little extra curricular morning, or whether or not, because she doesn't listen to every episode of the pod, we're praying she doesn't listen to this one and therefore won't know about Pablo's escapades.
Equally, we did. It did occur to me that I could put a shout out on the podcast. I've worked out, I mean, you came up with a brilliant idea, which you can share this in a minute, something about AirPods or something. I don't know what you're talking about. I was thinking, so you're thinking about put a tracker on him so I can find him using a mobile telephony device or some such ridiculousness. I went a different way. I'm thinking taxidermy.
Yeah, you're not. Everybody, don't pay any attention to Simon today. He's decided he doesn't like the home counties. He's going to stuff his dog. He loves his dog, and he runs away to the home counties at least once a month to check in on its still existence. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for this move. No, I think the AirTag or similar device. We're not the BBC, but you know, AirTag on your spaniel who are prone to foxtrot, Oscar. Every available opportunity, because and if you can hear in the background, Simon lives by the sea, so you can hear seagulls. That isn't a soundtrack, that is outside his house, so he's got seagulls. So you know, it's a full life that Pablo leads, so he's quite likely to disappear off, and tracking him on your phone is by far the best way, I reckon. But what do I know? I'm sure a listener will message us and say it's cruel. Let him run free.
Or we could try him in the electric chair the next time he does it.
Oh, dear God. Right. Dear listener, you've listened to us rant on for 25 minutes today. We have done this under technically challenging conditions.
It's not gone well.
This week. We will be back next week. We've got some cracking interviews lined up. Simon is basking in the glory of a great job well done. He probably does, actually, to be fair. Why am I defending him? He doesn't mean what he says about the home counties, and he does want you to keep bidding at his auctions. That's all he really wanted to say. I'll say it for him. What does the listener need to do, Simon?
If they could ring the tag on his neck the next time they find him, but make sure it comes through to me, not to Susie, I will travel to pick up the errant spaniel, Espanol, Pablo, and bring him back. So ring the second number on the tag if you could do that so that I don't get into more trouble with my wife. Thank you. Oh, and like, subscribe, send us a question.
Review. All those review. Sort of things, the podcast. Do let us know via our socials at Instagram. You can message us, The Gavel and The Gabble, who you would like us to interview. We have got some lined up and coming up shortly, but do let us know who you would like us to get on the pod, who you might like us to have back. We would really appreciate your comments and thoughts. Simon, I'm spending 3 days with you at the end of this week, so I'm going.
Very much looking forward to it. Harry, have a fabulous week, and I shall see you in the home counties. Rock on, the home counties.
Oh, dear God. See you, mate. Bye.
Love you.